found this on Ganarum. Ganamir Ni.
What is it?
Well, it's a performance.
Alrighty then, it's time for a new episode of Synthaholics. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me...
Aaron O'Brien, a twice-baked potato!
And the... Can't stop laughing!
I just want to yell bacon now.
Bacon Hertzberg!
Bacon Hertzberg. Faith Hertzberg. Yes.
Faith, the one, the only. And today... We are talking about the ye old Voyager episode.
Yes. Tinker, Tenor, Dr. Spy. And this is going to be the most probably...
X-rated,
awful, hide the women and children episode you've ever heard.
Let's hope not, because we just actually recorded the audio commentary version for Patreon subscribers. So this is the tease.
Amazing.
Yeah. So if you want to hear audio commentary of the episode, you'll have to get on our Patreon.
Yes.
Otherwise, we just hear a regular, normal episode that we're doing
our
right now.
Run through and everything else, and the fun bits of excitement.
But this is still going to be exciting because we are talking about Voyager.
Voyager.
And this is a great opening act. So this is Voyager that we have that came out in October 13th, 1999.
Yeah. So with this episode, of all of Star Trek, every single episode, all 700-something or you know, however many episodes there are of every single Star Trek series, this is the best. And I can't believe I'm saying this for a Voyager episode, but this is the best opening of any Star Trek ever.
It is interesting.
It really is.
But only reason why it works so well, I think, is because you've gotten all the previous Star Trek to get the references they're making, specifically about Tuvok and Ponfar. Without that, it wouldn't be as great. So it does rely on, it does stand on the shoulders of previous Star Trek to make this so fantastic.
And let's just face it, Robert Picardo basically holds the whole scene together.
It's so awesome. I know you're a Vulcan man, and you have been without for 7 years about.
You should take up opera.
I should.
Anyway, so we get the beginning...
And you two will be my biggest fans, Faith and Aaron.
Yes.
I just love the awkward silence.
He's like,
mm-hmm. See, the great thing about awkward silence is I can edit that out.
Yes. All right, so we start off with a performance on Voyager of the Doctor singing a opera song.
We're also a couple drinks deep, so if we laugh a little bit more in this episode than typical, that's why.
So we start off the episode talking about Voyager, and the Doctor is singing the opera of LaDania.
Is he now?
I think so.
Let's hope so.
And while he's singing, Tuvok starts becoming quite emotional.
And starts crying, and then laughing.
And then kicking Tom Paris's ass.
And everyone's ass. He grabs someone's phaser out of their hand and then just doesn't fire. I'm like,
it's like even funny because you think of phasers, like especially in like the next gen and all that stuff. It's like all you really have to do is press a button. There's not even trigger involved.
What if it's like set to kill and just kills everyone there?
I know.
In the mess
it's got to be pretty, pretty gruesome. But I'm just saying, like, all that guy had to do is just put his thumb down and like Tuvok disarmed him.
Yeah.
So that's cool. And so, anyways, Tuvok. Grabs a phaser and there's, you know, he's going to shoot. He's going to kill everybody. And then what we have is
the Doctor improvises to the exact same tune.
Yes.
Part of what I just sung a minute ago.
Yes. He starts singing in opera what he wants from the he wants Paris to grab a hypospray to knock him out. He grabs a hypospray, he throws it across the room. And while he's hitting a very long, protracted note, He grabs the hypo spray and gets Tuvok right in the ass.
Right in the ass. Right where Data's off switch is. I wonder if he knows.
He does know. He's the doctor.
He's the doctor. Oh, yeah. He definitely knows where all the
universal thing.
He also knows where all the soft spots are on your androids and other crewmates.
Soft spots?
Off spots? On spots?
Did you say soft spots or off spots?
I said soft spots, but it could be off spots or on spots or turn on spots.
There's a lot of things you can put there.
Right.
There's your on switch, your off switch, and, well, there's a toggle. We're not sure what the toggle does yet.
Well, anyway, so as, and then he finishes the song with his, with great bravado.
And he drops the hypo spray. It's just like, this is way before dropping the mic was a thing. And like, it originated here. Star Trek is definitely a forefront of many things.
Dropping the mic. Because, you know, rappers all watch Star Trek.
Yes, except he dropped the hypo spray, but still, it was very much a mic drop moment.
So he finishes a song, and everyone's giving him praise and love, and they're throwing flowers at him. And then he gets kind of called back to reality by B'Elanna Torres, who is impatiently calling as he's in sick bay. He kind of wakes up from his little daydream. Anyway, so he was letting his mind wander, and he was out there kind of daydreaming.
And B'Elanna cuts him off of this away mission that he was going to go on. He was so excited to take some holographic pictures, yeah. And she's like, no, we don't need you. It's not going to be that dangerous.
Right.
My hair is frizzy.
Yeah, her hair got frizzy, and what's up with that? It always used to be straight, now it's frizzy. Did she, like, run out of
Klingon gel.
That's right. Maybe she had like a special thing that she put on. They ran out of that in the replicator.
Yeah. Maybe it couldn't be replicated. Maybe it's just she ran out of her supply.
Right. So
no, that's why you don't play on the consoles.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, her in Paris probably getting it on and getting a little static electricity going. So next we see a scene on the bridge where Chakotay and Janeway are coming to a nebula. He's kind of doing a read of the nebula and of all the elements within it, which is fascinating in itself. But then he hands Janeway a pad saying that you have something, other drama to look into, and this is the doctor is complaining about his treatment with the crew, and then has a proposal for his advancement and how he can become treated as a sentient being, which is you know, kind of different, because I don't think they kind of, like, address this before too often.
I mean, you know, it happened with Data, sort of, kind of.
Yeah, but that was Data, but this is the doctor kind of, like, putting a flag down, saying,
it's like, I'm a person.
Yes, you need to start treating me like a person.
I'm a real boy.
I'm a real boy. And so.
I'm not a potato.
I'm not a potato.
But my best friends are potatoes, apparently. They like watching me dream and do all naughty things to all the women on the ship.
The things that he does to those poor women. That doctor is a perverted man.
So he goes to, she goes back to kind of read it and kind of like figure out what she's going to respond to it as. At the same time, we're brought onto a alien ship of potato people that are called the Hierarchy, and we have this young upstart Phlox. Not the Phlox that we know.
not the Dr. Phlox, because Dr. Phlox would probably be long dead by this time.
This is the Potato Phlox.
Potato Phlox.
Potato Phlox.
With twice the sour cream and a little bit of chives and bacon.
But only two eyes.
Only two eyes.
So he's basically going, and he's been scanning Voyager, and he's found a way to kind of hack into their system by using going through the doctor's perception of things, so they can kind of he can watch what's going on the ship through the doctor, and much to his command's chagrin, he kind of overrides them and asks their command if it's an acceptable risk of them to actually look into Voyager further, because they didn't want to go after Voyager because they didn't know anything about it, and the Hierarchy's command gives him the go ahead. And he starts observing the doctor through
this method
of his hacking through his computer system. So he's basically tuning into the doctor channel. So
it's a soap opera.
The doctor's live.
Yeah, this is the doctor.
This is taped in front of a live studio audience. This is potato people.
This is the doctor's before the doctor's was an actual show. So
this is what created it.
Exactly. baked potatoes created the doctors. Just think about that. And so he taps into them, and he does actually start learning a lot about Voyager at that in the time. But we're going to jump to that in a minute. But we get to a part where they're in the Voyager's briefing room. They're discussing the mission that the doctor's not going on. The doctor sort of starts fading out, and then he starts going into another one of his daydreams where the women all seem to be really lusting after him quite a bit.
They're in a briefing room, and B'Elanna's rubbing her bunion foot all over him.
That is the... next to Neelix, that is an ugly-looking foot.
I'm not sleeping tonight. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, that foot, I don't know. It's like...
I need a shower.
You're welcome, Vaith.
Decontamination, and...
I got some decontamination gel I can rub on you. Would you like that?
I mean,
that's going to make it worse. I need an adult.
I need an adult. I'm just trying to help.
I mean,
even Porthos needed some decontamination gel sometimes.
But what was the idea behind that? Like, what did they like, why did she have to take her shoe
How did she get her shoe back on so quick? Yeah. Was she wearing sandals?
It's for all the diehard Klingon fans out there that have a foot fetish.
I don't know. I think
Happy
we've seen
Valentine's
like,
Day.
I think we've seen
Get
other
rewind a few times.
I think we've seen other parts of like Worf, like his back and his like arms. Like,
yeah,
they seem to have like ridges on them. Why didn't she have feet ridges?
That's a good question. Well, she is hybrid, so maybe.
I guess. Well, it's funny if you watch Voyager in season one, any episode of season one, look at B'Elanna, and then go to season seven, look at B'Elanna. Her head is completely different.
Yeah, that has more to do with production than anything else. They changed makeup artist several times.
Her ridges are very pronounced in the first season or two,
and then
they get much, much softer, much less pronounced as the season goes on. So she starts looking better as the seasons go on.
I'd buy that for $1.
Because her ridges are less pronounced.
So so B'Elanna's putting her bunion feet on the doctor's leg, and he's sort of like doesn't know what's going on.
He like looks underneath the table and he's checking it out. It's like,
B'Elanna.
I think I've got a remedy for those bunions.
Yeah, and then
he
gets a text on his data pad saying dinner tonight, and he instinctively
looks
at
Phlox. Neelix.
He looks at Neelix.
Because Neelix is the cook. And he's like, oh, you're making me dinner tonight. That's cool.
It's like,
and then he looks over at Seven, and Seven's all winking at him.
Oh, I see.
That look everybody wants to have from her.
Everyone wants to have that look from her. It doesn't matter who you are.
And then Janeway decides to get up, and she gets a little too familiar with him by rubbing the top of
his neck, shoulder.
Oh, no, that was the claim. She was totally marking her territory.
She was. Yeah.
I own this. This is mine.
This is mine.
And B'Elanna gets a little heated as normal, and then she goes, oh, I got an injury. I have an injury from my old academy days. My butt
hurts. And then she turns around, butt facing him, grabs his hand. Puts it on her back and shoves it down to, like, cup her ass.
That's right. So, as we mentioned before, maybe not the ideal ass to grab, but
not
an
really.
Ass.
Oh, before, as in the commentary, which you would hear, but we were saying
in
that...
And all of the lovely context that goes with it.
there's a couple of nice asses in that room, and hers probably is the lowest in the chain.
Yeah.
Hey, there are some of the best assets in that room... Period.
It's 7 of 9.
7 of 9 and B'Elanna's.
But hers is not even on that top 10 list.
Yeah.
I like the Warp 11 song, 7 of 9. You're pretty smooth for a chick full of wires, so cold to the touch, but you set me on fire.
There you go.
Yes.
So they kind of get in this little fight while, about their, who is going to... take advantage of the doctor.
Oh yes, they're all like fighting over. It's like a cat fight. Like if this wasn't a PG show, the doctor's mind would have probably wandered to them in bathing suits and oil, like fighting over him probably.
Well, and then he hears a voice and he steps out of it, and that's Janeway, and he's pretty much alone in the.
He's alone with her. Oh my God, save me!
He's like grabbing her ass. Oh, I'm sorry, Captain.
Oops. Oops.
Oops, I'm sorry.
I hope you don't mind. Prostate exam?
I'm sorry.
Question mark?
Give Janeway a prostate exam.
Wait, is question mark the safe word? I'm just wondering, because I mean, we need to be clear about these things before we start.
Question mark!
Question mark is like, oh, I'm giving you a prostate. Is that question mark? I'm not sure if you're a man or not. Question mark?
Question mark?
Can you hashtag that?
Hashtag question mark.
Right.
Or is it hashtag I'm not sure if you're a man?
Hashtag I'm not sure.
I'm not sure.
Hashtag
I made four choices.
Hashtag Janeway, I need a safe word.
Safe word. Oh. Safe word.
Safe word, nope. Safe Janeway. Word, nope.
So in Janeway's writing room, she kind of gives him the letdown, saying, hey, look, I looked at your request, and we'll have it looked at when we get back to the Alpha Quadrant. And that basically means
never. We're not going to look at this stuff.
This is never going to get looked at. I'm sorry. And so he walks back. And as he's walking back, he opens, goes, I think he's going to the...
back to the medical bay.
Medical bay, but he actually goes into a big open room where they're having a big congratulations party for him.
For being the ECH, Emergency Command Hologram.
That's right.
Which is really cool. It's actually a really cool idea. If someone comes incapacitated, boom. You got a hologram to take over.
Which we talked a little, my concerns on this in the Doctor's episode, that basically, like... How far are we going to take the hologram kind of side of things? It's going to get like sillier and sillier, where they just basically just send a crew of holograms out into space and let them do all the exploring. But we won't get into that now, because
that's what the Patreon's for.
Well, not the Patreon we just recorded. It's about baked potatoes and sex. But anyways,
so
bacon.
If you've ever
wondered, don't
forget the bacon. And bacon.
If you've ever wondered,
bacon. What, God damn it!
What baked potatoes and sex have to do with each other?
You're about to find out.
The bacon's
butter. Educate you thoroughly.
The butter up that baked potato. And don't forget the sour cream. Might squirt out.
Oh my god!
No!
Oh!
Don't ruin sour cream for me. I have so many things, so little things I can enjoy anymore.
Oh yes, yes, tragedy.
The curse of getting older.
Yeah, I know. Isn't it weird? Anyway, so
that's what Imodium is for.
Imodium.
You almost sound Canadian when you said that.
Imodium.
This episode is brought to you by Imodium. Take the little blue pill that doesn't make you hard. It makes your poop hard, so it doesn't come out.
Oh my god.
If only we were sponsored by Avodium, we'd be rolling in dough.
We'd be quite well. There'd be no Patreons.
Oh my god.
So anyway, so
now available in gel caps.
We go back to
so it goes down easier.
Is that a suppository?
Don't get excited.
So we go back to the hierarchy ship with the potatoes, and the living potatoes have hacked into the doctor's, and he's really watching everything of the doctor, and so he sees the doctor's daydreams of him becoming becoming command, or given the opportunity to take command if needed. And he's like, so this doctor's pretty much amazing, and I get to see everything about him. So he's learning everything about the doctor, and he's getting into the whole thing. All right, they're going to fly back to the they're going to fly down to the planet with their Delta flyer, whatever the fuck that is.
It's the hot rod shuttlecraft that we were wondering.
It's the pretty Corvette.
You know, we were always wondering, like, you know, Voyager, like, they lose a shuttlecraft a season. Like, how many shuttlecrafts do they have? Right. And they've got Neelix's ship. We don't know how big that is, right, sitting in the hangar bay somehow, somewhere. Like, this, in Into Darkness, like, the shuttle bay is huge, but, right, like, you know, Enterprise is a decently sized ship, but Voyager is a small ship.
Very small ship, right.
And so it's just like, oh, how do all these things fit in Voyager?
So
wow. I mean, that's not a question you really want to ask somebody.
Lots of lube.
All right. So anyways,
before
we have sex with Voyager, Voyager goes down with the, don't go there. No. Just
nay cells aren't as ample as the Enterprise.
Oh boy!
I wasn't gonna go there.
If you're pardon the engineering pun,
have you gone Daft Man?
Daft Man.
All right, so
Daft Punk.
So the Voyagers take the Delta flyer down to whatever they're going to do on this away mission on this planet. During this time, the doctor's on the bridge, and he falls into another one of his daydreams where he believes that the Borg is attacking, and he basically obliterates the Borgs with his special weapon that he's created.
Built and made himself, the photonic cannon.
Yeah, the photonic cannon. And in the meantime, the hierarchy is watching all this in complete amazement. Why they don't have sensors on this, I have no idea.
The hierarchy's got really bad sensors. They couldn't penetrate Voyager's hull or anything. They had to use this, like, this sneaky method to even get to probe the doctor. And, like, the original guy was like, oh, well, are you going to look at the ship one molecule at a time? So basically, like, this is a really weird way of scanning. So they've got really crappy technology.
But
for being the Borg who, like...
But they're twice baked, and they're so, so tasty.
They're the Delta Quadrant pack lead.
They penetrate and probe in the same definition. Congratulations.
There you go.
We are pros. If you ever need a couple P words, probe, penetrate.
Penis. Push. Pachina.
Pachina. This episode is brought to you with the letter
Puh.
Potato.
It's like Sesame Street.
Penetrate. Probe.
Pussy.
There we go.
Tits. Petits.
It's petite.
Petite. Oh, petite. I'm sorry. Petites.
Your accent sucks.
Ah, my accent. I gotta work on that.
So going back to the Borg attacks, and they fire their photonic cannon, and they obliterate the Borg.
Photonic cannon?
Photonic.
What kind of accent is that?
Photonic.
Iceberg.
It's a botanic cannon.
This is a botanical cannon.
It's botanical. It's got flowers and...
I say botanical. I say photanical.
Botanical. It's whatever that means.
I don't know what that means.
Where the fuck did we just go?
Well, I don't know.
Just so you know, we've been hanging out for about 3 hours now, and we might be drunk.
No.
Just
no
FYI.
The bottle's still half full.
Life goals.
Anyway, so while they see that they kind of his transmission goes out, and then from there, he kind of gets snapped out of his daydream again.
Man, I would hate to be him getting snapped out of my daydreams all the time. Good grief.
It happens to me all the time.
Aw, man, that's so you look like the doctor.
I am.
And you got 8 solid hours a day that you can daydream.
I know, now I
do. God, I love work.
Now I do.
I win!
Faith is bestowed upon me. What I've bestowed upon her so many times.
Payback's a bitch.
Whiskey.
Enjoy it.
Whiskey through the nose. It wasn't hot coffee, but whiskey burns in its own special way.
I almost choked on my nose, but it was worth it.
Velly, you choked on my big ball. Ice
you
balls.
You choke on your own balls, that's your own
No,
ball,
no, I've got these giant ice balls for our whiskey.
That's what he says.
That's what she said.
Anyways, going back to the episode.
No.
No,
it'll
never happen.
So we go back to the so the hierarchy decides that they're going to take a Type 3 stealth assault because they feel that this is they're a very dangerous threat.
Again, brought to you the word penetrate and probe.
And while he's leaving to go to the sick bay, Chakotay catches up with him and congratulates the doctor about how he defeated the Borg. And he's like, what?
What? What? And then he's like, where's Chakotay? Chakotay is at his quarters. And he's like, oh, crap. I'm broken.
There's twins.
I broke myself.
He figured out that he's breaking himself. So
this is why you do not play with yourself excessively, because you can cause damage.
Damn it. I'm broken now. All right. So from there, we basically come down to that he has... he's so messed up that he has to actually get checked out, and he's in engineering, and he's basically telling what he did. He put this program into them, and they're...
I made myself a schizophrenic.
Guys, I fucked myself up really good.
This LSD trip hasn't ended yet.
And,
LSD. This is a whisk. This is brought to you by whiskey.
I took mushrooms.
We were talking about you. We were talking about the doctor.
Yeah. So, and then it, as they're debating this, Seven of Nine and Bolanos get another fight over the doctor about who is going to take care of him, and they get into another fight with his fantasy. In his fantasy,
they do. This happens.
Yeah, they had such a good lead-in for such better things, and then they just sort of cut it short. And it's such, you know, it's pleasant thoughts.
I can't go on anymore, people.
I've always said a life goal is to record an episode of this the show drunk, and tonight is that night.
We
so.
Are really trailing off here.
Please,
we're doing a great job.
Please, please forgive us.
Please edit this, Dave. Please edit the shit out of this episode.
You know what? I still don't care. I'm not sorry.
I'm not sorry.
I'm so not sorry. Sorry, not sorry.
So the doctor's taken back to the sick bay after he tries to eject the war corps.
They lock him in a. They lock him in behind a force field, which just, you know, just covers that one little spot of the
bay.
Why
don't you just turn him off?
Which is really weird because the doctor is a force field. He should be able to phase through it, but like he's imagining talking to an admiral, and then he runs to the force field. It's like, oh, sorry, miss. It's like, oh, maybe
there's different modulations for different force fields. So
but why wouldn't
cause
they just
one field to buff the other field? There you go, nerds. Enjoy that.
Why wouldn't you just turn him off, like, or have him run, not in corporeal form, and just had him, you know, do his thing inside his program? You can watch it from there.
But he was. They had him going. Twice at the same time, they had him.
Because it's more entertaining watching him play with himself. I'll just say it like it is.
I
mean, we
that.
Watch him blow out birthday candles and mime the whole damn thing. Like, I mean, well done.
Whack it. Anyway, Harry Kim calls an important thing. Hey, you should come to holodeck because they've got his conscious streaming to the holodeck. And you should see this, Captain.
That's not a violation of privacy.
Yeah.
And this is probably one of the best scenes in all of Star Trek where Robert Picardo, the Doctor, is Seven of Nine. Can I draw you?
Oh.
Naked.
Yes, please.
Laying down. Naked, preferably.
Yeah, so he's painting or drawing Seven of Nine.
Over and over and over again. There's like... four or five
good
of these
subject matter.
It's great subject matter. I'd do that too, but he never finishes because he never
it sounds like such a problem.
He never finishes because
it's
he goes
poor guy.
Cuz they change over to the bridge.
Well, no, but like it is like just like six or seven paintings where it's basically her head and just an outline of her body. I'm like, he never finishes. Oh, look, he's done it over and over again.
Maybe the lighting's bad. So, the scene changes. The doctor is now he's in command of Voyager, and he's saving the day or having another. Oh, we forgot to mention how the pips show up on his collar.
Oh yeah, whenever he goes to emergency command hologram mode, it just like psh, 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 psh.
It's pretty.
It changes the color of his uniform too.
I just like that somebody
he's
actually
a Power Ranger.
I know someone actually thought this up that they had the little pips pop up his uniform. It's so silly.
It's silly, but it works.
Oh, it's great,
and it makes complete sense because he's elevating from regular to from doctor to captain.
Right.
And that's pretty cool.
So next scene is actually the doctor's breaking up with Bolana.
In the holodeck. In the holodeck. Oh, it's so great.
And Paris is over there. He's like, what about Tom? And he's like, hey, guys.
Hey, guys. I'm from the AV Club. Yeah. You want to? And she's like, I don't care about Tom. I just want to rub your bald head day and night.
And she's like, sorry, it's just not going to work. And then Bolana's done. She after watching this, like, all right.
She's like, I can't see myself like this anymore. And Janeway is, like, entranced by this.
But the thing is that...
Seven's laughing.
Yeah. But as they're all leaving...
which is strange, because she just witnessed them draw her naked. So, like, apparently this is more demeaning.
Yeah, you know, she's like, I got it. What are you going to do? So, as everyone's leaving... there's the last scene where the doctor's talking to Janeway, and they're basically saying, all I've ever wanted to do is I wanted to better myself, because he's taking, in this fantasy, he's taking command and he's given an award or something to that nature. And Janeway's watching this and going, oh, I get it.
I'm an asshole.
Oh, yeah, she's
an asshole. Asshole, yo.
He just wants to make himself bigger and larger and more compatible.
And he wanted to be able to protect the people that he loved. And, like, that's really touching, that the whole reason why he wanted to expand himself was so that he could take care of them.
Right, and so that kind of dawns on her. You can tell the look on her face. She's like, oh, I get it. But at the same moment, aboard the hierarchy ship, the potato Phlox is watching his monitor in complete confusion. Like, he's really scared because basically he's put his whole career on the line here.
He's put it all on the line, and he's now realizing that he's been watching the fantasies
of a hologram. So it's gotten so strange, it's beyond words. And from there, he's like, oh, I think I've made a giant mistake.
And so he's got to hack into Voyager, and because the doctor's had his fantasies turned off because they figured out that the command one is the one that happens most often, so that's the one they can kind of tap into to figure out why it's going wrong. So they basically block all his fantasies.
Right.
And then he starts fantasizing again, and then all of a sudden there's Mistress Potato and Sour Cream there.
And I've got bacon!
Yay,
open
bacon!
Open me up and eat me!
I'm covered in tin foil. I'm so hot and steamy inside.
Toss my potato salad.
Oh.
Anyway, like, he's like, oh, come on, Bridge, I'm hallucinating again.
There's
come
a potato talking to me.
I didn't dream you up. And, like, Seven of Nine starts licking his ear, and then he hands her some champagne. She's like, oh, this is better.
So he talks to the potato, which obviously is the most logical choice.
Yes.
And
stop 7 of 9 from looking here and talk to the potato. That's what any guy would do. Yeah, really.
And Phlox says to him that, hey, you know, this is real, and I actually want to warn you that we are going to attack you, and you better do something about this.
And we're using method disguise cloak 3. So, wink, wink, this is what it does.
Right. So, in the meantime, so that's all. He has to process that and try to figure out what to do.
He tells the captain, he's like, I gotta do the command hologram thing for real, because if I don't, my potato friend's going to lose his job.
But Potato Man can't lose his job.
He won't
guys.
Be able to feed his flock of
his young spuds.
Seedlings.
His young spuds can't eat.
Phlox Jr. will die.
That's right.
Tiny Phloxy Tim. He's got his crutches and everything because he never learned to walk.
I'm just a weak potato. Oh, help me, Father.
Ebenezer Scrooge, please pay my father more money so he can help me with my disease.
I started off with a sour cream spooge on my mother.
I was born with a peanut in my brain.
Oh, my God.
I don't even have my bacon yet.
My bacon's haven't grown in yet.
Nobody will ever eat bacon the same again.
Yeah, I know.
I do apologize
for. Or a baked potato.
Do you like bacon? You're really going to like it after this episode.
I hope you still enjoy it after this.
It's going to be the most confusing episode anybody ever listened to. So,
what the hell are they on about?
So the captain actually ends up believing him and letting him take command. And from there, he tries to act as a captain, not very well.
And he's, like, all, like, timid and shy now.
Well, this is real life.
Yeah, but, like, you know, it's just, he's like...
Yeah, no, there's shit on the line.
He's, yeah, but he's definitely a lot more scared.
Right.
And, like, timid. And then he starts trying to diagnose the guy. He's like, oh, you probably have some kind of a potato disease.
You have a potato disease. Too many eyes.
You are lacking your bacon, sir.
You have blight. You are what killed the Irish.
You caused the potato famine. How do you feel? How do you
feel?
They
ran out of whiskey and went crazy, and it is your fault.
I've still got whiskey!
Not for long.
No, I'm drinking it all.
So they actually take some shots at Voyager, and Voyager becomes somewhat disabled by their weapons are offline. And he decides to arm the photonic cannon. And Tuvok's like,
okay, I will arm the photonic cannon. Like,
okay, I will.
This guy's crazy.
Question mark. Hashtag question mark. Safe word.
Hashtag confused Vulcan.
Not hard to
hashtag,
do.
Hashtag safe word.
Safe word. Question mark.
Question mark. Is the question mark the safe word or is safe word the safe word?
I think
question mark. Oh, I don't know which one's the safe word.
Damn it.
Tri-ball!
All of them?
Anyway, the hierarchy decide, oh, they're going to use the photonic cannon. Maybe we should ask the other hierarchy, what should we do? Should we leave? And the hierarchy says yes. Single time they ask the hierarchy anything, the hierarchy says yes.
Magic. It's like pulling an arm on a slot machine.
Magic 8-ball.
It is, except for you always win. You always get what you want. You ask it something, yes. Ask it something else, yes.
Maybe the hierarchy just says yes no matter what.
Can we escape death? Yes. Can we scan Voyager? Yes. Can we check out the Doctor's fantasies? Yes.
It makes you really want to know who the hell the hierarchy really is.
And I don't think we ever see the hierarchy again.
No. They don't show up again.
They don't ever show up again.
And but like, there should be more potatoes in space.
There should be more potatoes
there
in space.
There really should be more potatoes.
As much as we're like calling these guys potatoes and kind of making fun of it, their makeup is extremely impressive. Like,
yeah, they
like,
did a really good job with developing these characters. Like, that was very well done.
Like there can't be a part of their face other than their eyeballs that don't have makeup on them. And they're still extremely expressive through this thick-looking potato mask. And, like, I don't know. Like, it's really good. I don't know if it was, Westmore was working on Voyager. I know he did a lot of stuff in the other series, but
So the hierarchy basically is told to retreat, which they do, and from there they give the Doctor a Starfleet Medal of Commendation.
It's the smallest little medal. It's slightly bigger than a pip.
It's like, thank you.
Why does size matter?
Well, like it doesn't,
it's still
it doesn't,
a medal.
It doesn't look like anything. It's just a little circle. It doesn't look like, you know, usually medals are lavish and they have lots of intricate designs on them. So, you know, oh, look, this is the Medal of Valor. Oh, look, this is the, you know, the Purple Heart.
So
this is just a little small silver dot.
It is. And then 7-9 comes by and gives him a little kiss on the cheek and says it's purely platonic. And kind of, but it's a tease. But then
it
he,
made me so
and
happy.
She's like, don't expect me to pose for you. It's like, oh, why not?
Come on.
That had to have been fun. I mean, all you do is stand up and ask your message. Wouldn't you like to lay down naked?
Come on. I don't care.
Just recline. You can do the same job standing.
You offered
down.
To have sex with Harry Kim. You cannot care that much.
Come on. You cannot. So
Your standards are low, madam. I'm sorry.
End scene. Show's over. Credits roll. So this episode obviously is a lot of fun because we get to go into like kind of the secret life of Walter Mitty kind of style of all the little goofy things that we all believe that, you know, in our brains.
Or wish we could, you know, believe in everything.
That,
so.
Yeah,
things that we hope to God nobody ever finds out.
Right.
Yes.
So
good thing we aren't holograms.
Dave, your takeaway feelings about this episode?
I love this episode. Like, you know, I know you've probably heard me talk about Voyager before on Tentaholics, and I'm pretty hard on Voyager. But after season three, when you get 7 of 9 on the show, 7 of 9 and the Doctor kind of become like the focus of the show. Like their name should have been moved to the front of the credits list instead of like toward the end where they are, because they really are basically become the stars of the show.
It's politics.
Yeah. But regardless, like. This being a strong Doctor episode, like Robert Picardo, the Doctor, I've said it before, the Doctor, Seven, and Naomi Wildman are the best written characters on the show Voyager. So an episode that features the Doctor is amazing, especially with the comedy. The opening, like I said, best opening in every single episode of Star Trek. This is the best golden. Just teaser opening before the opening credits.
I think you've thrown on the gauntlet. I think we're going to get some mail coming in telling us there's different episodes.
Oh, I would hope for mail over this.
Oh, come on. It's definitely give us mail. It's synthaholics@yahoo.com.
Anyways, anything else?
It's just a really well done episode. It's a lot of fun, a lot of humor. Hence why we're making fun of it so much, because it's just so great. Like, this is like a very good Voyager episode. And I know I said this the last time we did a Voyager episode, so I'm kind of like jinxing myself. We gotta do a Voyager
episode.
We'll
do Threshold next.
Threshold, yes! We'll hate that. Hate on that.
And Faith, how about you? Takeaways, feelings, ideas about this episode?
Oh, this is just a really entertaining episode. Like, it's so easy to just have a good time watching it and just having fun with it. Like, sure. it's a real feel good episode more than anything.
And what about you, Aaron?
Again, I agree with you on the fact that the opening is really strong, and I mean Rob Riccardo, he basically holds this whole episode together, and I mean it just goes to show how his acting is so superior, and I mean just everything about him, his just persona is great. But the great really thing I came away watching this episode is, like, you know, obviously we all have all sorts of fantasies, daydreams, thoughts, and what would happen if someone could tap into that and see what you're thinking on a moment to moment, day to day basis.
I'll give you a window into what we're thinking. We wish we were the number one Star Trek podcast of them all.
You want to be
that's
great.
That's one of our fantasies.
What? Yeah, okay. Well, that wasn't top on my list, but you know, yeah, there was definitely, like, but you sit there and you think, like, how would people react if they could see those kind of things? And, you know, it really is, I mean, and then you also have the whole doctor with his, you know, I want to be treated as a sentient being.
I want to be equal, and I want to command the entire crew.
How about that for a power play?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got, like, a couple things that are going on here which I think are interesting philosophies and ethics and all sorts of things that are flying around in this episode that are kind of teased in a funny way. Obviously, it's super entertaining, but it's also, like, yeah, I mean, like, if you had the opportunity to tap into someone's fantasy daydreams, is that something that you could morally do?
No. I consider that an invasion of privacy, and honestly, have your thoughts to yourself. Like, I have no right to that. I don't think anybody has any right to that, because you deserve that sort of privacy.
But it's like the movie Being John Malkovich, or no, Adaptation. Is that what it is? Adaptation, where you could open the door and you could go inside the mind of John Malkovich and watch him, like, do his walk around and do his thing. It's like they kept on going into that door, and they kept on looking into his life, and it's like, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm going to be high-minded and say I would never do that. I guess it's according to who the person is.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you might want to invade some person's privacy. Other people you probably don't care anything about. But, you know,
there are certain people that you'd be like, I would love to find out what's going on in their mind right now, or what they're thinking, or what's going on in their life. And, I mean... obviously, with social media, we have a little bit more of that. I mean, we have people that, you know, obviously can...
This is my cake. I ate it.
Well, that, but you...
You like my cake?
People periscope. People, you know, it takes all sorts of pictures of their friends and family and their outings and everything else.
This is a picture of my potato.
Chives and bacon. Sour cream.
That's it. I'm making potatoes tomorrow night.
Twice bake.
Pictures are didn't happen.
But, you know,
we're going to start making potato jokes on the group page. Nobody's going to have any idea what we're talking about.
No, not until Tuesday when this comes out.
But yeah, I'll start posting pictures of potatoes.
Right, I'm going to show the potatoes.
So,
here's our face having for dinner. It's a twice baked potato.
Twice baked potato.
Extra bacon.
Extra bacon. Mm. But, I mean, we can say all high and mighty that we'd be like, no, I would never do that. But let's face it. There would be certain people, if you could have that door to be John Malkovich or whoever, put in the person's name that you would be interested in seeing, if it's, you know, a famous star or, you know, anything. Like, would you actually open that door and view it? And I mean, like...
And we're not perfect people, so a lot of us probably would if it's something...
I am not a perfect person. So
if it's someone... I'm not a perfect person. But I can honestly state, I wouldn't do it.
You don't think you would...
You don't think so?
Name?
I know for a fact. It wouldn't matter. It could be the one person that I...
Oh.
I wouldn't want to do it.
Not even
like,
me?
I would rather be invited into their life and be able to participate in that fashion than spy on them.
Right.
Because it wouldn't mean as much.
Well, and, you know,
I hate to be the moral person of the group, but I mean, that's just my perspective.
My feeling is that I'd like to believe that I'd be like, no, I can't do that. But I think I would be like, ooh, piece of candy kind
ooh,
of thing.
Piece of candy.
Yeah. I think
you're the kid that jumps in the van.
Yeah, I think I would. I don't, you know, I'd like to say I wouldn't. You know, I like to believe I wouldn't, but
Mister, I've been in the van before. I know what comes next. Pulls the pants down.
Just give me the candy.
Just give me the candy.
I'll suck your dick. I don't care. So,
and now we know why Aaron is the way he is.
That's right. So, that being said, no, I just I.
So.
No, but I mean, it's like I'd like to believe that, but I really think that there we would. I think a vast majority of people would break down that wall, and I just think that's human nature. And like Faith, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. Like, there's just nothing wrong with that. But that other perspective. I mean, if that is something that you feel okay with, that's okay.
I don't feel okay with it. Actually, I feel kind of scummy about it. But I'm admitting it to everybody here. No, I mean, I like to believe that I would be like, no, I can't do that. But in reality, I'd be like. I don't know. I mean,
this is Peepers Anonymous. His name is Aaron. My name is David. Faith, you're a moderator since you would not do such a thing.
Oh, shit. Not again.
But I mean,
why do I have to babysit?
But if you think about it, like, what would you.
You're the most qualified.
Like, you poor.
Shit, Aaron's qualified.
Poor woman. So,
I don't
like,
get paid enough.
I don't get paid anything.
We all get paid nothing.
Right?
So, but I
my
mean,
my service is for free. I'm sorry, Aaron.
But like, what we're saying is that like, you know, like, what if it was like a, you know, an ex, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend? What if it was, you know, like a famous movie star or singer, musician, politician,
Freddy Krueger?
Okay, that. Even to throw out like a, okay to toss out a personal situation that ideally I should want to watch when my ex-husband has the kids. Not interested.
Whoa. I think I'd look.
Nope. Because I already know what's going on and I trust what my kids say.
Don't ask, don't tell.
And I get a lot less angrier that way.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
But I mean.
So, I mean, ultimately, you just gotta live life with what you got.
Take life by the cojones.
I don't know. I'd like to, like I say, again, I'd like to say I'd like to believe I could be as good as that, but I don't know if I would be. And I'm sure a vast majority of people would feel the same way with me. And other people would just throw everything out the window and say, fuck it, I just do whatever.
I think we'd all like to think that we wouldn't. And I mean, I think it would depend on the person. I mean, it depends on the person for everybody, but it would definitely depend on the person for me. I don't know. That power is impossible to gain, so like until it becomes intangible and something for me to think about really hard, I don't know how to answer that yet.
There's been a couple.
I don't know. There's people that hack into laptops and webcams.
Well, exactly.
They come pretty close to living vicariously.
But that's my point.
People are hacking into us now. Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hi,
peoples. Oh, wait. No, that's me.
Oh, it's you. Hi, Faith. How are you doing?
No, but my point only
I didn't
being,
know you were there.
My point being is that, yeah, I mean, there are people out there that does that, obviously. There's people that look into people's bedroom windows and whatever else. I mean, that's...
Okay, why
they
got
to have a ladder to look in my bedroom window. I'm on the second story.
Hey, those guys grow up to be paparazzi.
But, ooh,
so good for them.
Hey, that's if it pays good money, you know, maybe I should start doing that.
So, but I mean, that's all being said is that there are people out there that are going to do that anyway. So, but I think with social media, there's actually a very interesting episode of Black Mirror that does that. I don't know if anybody's watched that. It's a great sci-fi show that they kind of they can like look into people's eyes and they can like record what they do. It's a great episode, and it's about this guy who becomes obsessed with his wife and if she had an affair with him and stuff like that. And it's a cool idea. Anyways, but I mean, it gets into all that kind of like thing, but I think we are interested in that stuff, and I think we can get like it could get that way maybe in, you know, 30, 40 years from now where we can kind of jack into our brains and think. I mean, I guarantee.
Oh yeah. Like the Matrix style.
And welcome to Skynet.
Yeah, exactly.
Skynet.
Or just the government just looking into everything you do.
Oh, that's called the NSA.
Yeah.
Damn.
Snowden!
Bye, guys!
Well, and then the next thing is that, obviously...
We love you!
just to change gears is that, you know, the doctor is saying that he wants to be treated as a sentient being, you know. And this comes to point is like, so Voyager and the program within Voyager has become artificial intelligence. Technically.
Yeah.
I mean,
or just intelligence, because, I mean, he was artificial intelligence to begin with. But the computer program.
But at what point?
Independent thought.
He started having independent thought and started doing it, pursuing things of his own.
I mean, almost by like the second episode, really. I mean, like he was a little bit robotic in the first season, but right. I mean, I think almost by the second episode where he started becoming midget sized, and he was definitely like.
Yeah, but my point only being is that that's something that we're seeing more and more, and like. We should be seeing more. I think we talked about in the Doctor's episode that there should be more sentient AIs of the Doctor programs or similar holographic programs throughout the Federation that are that advanced. You know,
they hadn't gotten that far yet.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Voyager's. Like
I think the only reason the Doctor became that way is because they had to leave him on so much.
Yeah, exactly. But he started learning. And he started, you know,
adding genitalia.
He learned so much that he was actually causing issues with the databanks.
But then my thought going back to the Doctor's episode that we talked about before, it was at episode 7 or whatever it was way back when.
11, something like that.
Yeah, but is it because they turned off those Doctor's episodes so often? Because they only used it for like maybe 20 minutes to an hour, you know, or so.
It was an emergency. Like there was an emergency. If the doctor needed extra help
considered arrested development because they've shut that program off and that program never got a chance to flourish?
That does actually lead to that question, you know, did they harm a sentient life form?
Right.
But, I mean, any holodeck episode would come down to this because, I mean, when Moriarty, you know, he learned that he was a hologram, he wanted to – He didn't like that knowledge, and he wanted more of those change.
Right.
I mean, like even like
defends that statement further.
Unlike the Captain's Holiday episode, not the holiday, but the one where he goes to Dixon Hill, and then like one of the guys gets shot when the program goes off, and they open the door, and they're like, "What's that?" And like it almost seems like every single hologram is.
Exactly.
Potentially sentient.
Exactly. That's my point.
Any of them, because they all want to see what's up there.
What's beyond their door.
They're curious. I mean, the only one who doesn't is Vic Fontaine, because he's programmed with the knowledge that he is a hologram.
Right.
Like, he knows what he is, so he's fine being...
He doesn't have a problem with it.
Yeah, he doesn't have a problem. And so he doesn't want to escape, because he's self-aware. Right. He's basically... He breaks the fourth wall... Because he's able to communicate with the people as they are.
I just, you know, it brings up a lot of moral questions, I think, for sentient life forms. And, like, I mean, obviously, Next Generation, they were kind of grappling with the idea of holograms as sentient life, too, before they even knew they were grappling with it. You know, they wrote, like you said, they wrote Moriarty into it. And it was obviously, there was an issue. But they didn't really kind of, like, dig into it deeper. They kind of just, like... Just shut that program off, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, they talked about sentient life form with Data, but they didn't get into holograms. Now we're getting into Voyager, and we can see that a lot more clear. And that it does bring up an interesting story, you know, or narrative for what is sentient life and how do you recognize it.
I mean, I almost feel like there was a Measure of a Man type episode in Voyager for the Doctor. I can't think of like what the episode is off the top of my head, but I feel like there was one. That kind of was almost like a ripoff of Measure of a Man, but not like that was a trial or everything, but more like affirming that he's, you know, a sentient being. Like I feel like they did an episode like that before.
Yeah, well, there is one. I can't remember where it is.
And when we get to the end, I mean, he's obviously fully sentient and fully recognized as that as well.
So. Which is one of my biggest problems with Voyager, like in general. Like I would have loved Voyager to. For them to have gotten home like a season early, like to see the aftermath. What happens when you have a sentient hologram that's like become a person? What happens when you've taken a Borg out of the collective from, you know, they've been in the collective since they were like 7?
Yeah.
Like, what do you do with all these Maquis officers that I've integrated into a Starfleet vessel? Like, what do you do with all these people? And, like, the show just ends, there's fireworks, and they get home, and then there's... Oh.
That would be a good movie, actually.
It would be great. It's great to see that. It's great to see those questions answered, and, I mean...
I'm sure there's novels. I know there's novels that deal with it, but, I mean, it's not the same.
Yeah, I agree.
Not at all.
I think we get sometimes lost in the weeds of the... of the adventure of the whole thing, which is fun, but it's like sometimes we don't answer all the questions that need to be kind of like resolved.
Yeah, for sure. Just some fun trivia. I know we've talked about all this heavy stuff about, you know, morals and, you know, holograms and whatnot, but there wasn't a whole lot of stuff on Memory Alpha. I was kind of disappointed, but one of the things that was on there was something I'm so very glad didn't happen. The original way this was being written was to be written as The Secret Life of Neelix, and I'm like, no, that would have been awful. Like women massaging his super ugly feet. Like, you know, if you thought Milana's feet were bad, if you thought Neelix's feet are nightmare fuel. With like weird hair tufts and stuff coming off.
Yeah, Neelix.
So not like, sleeping tonight.
No, but I mean, like that was the one nugget of stuff like that. It was originally going to be written around Neelix, and I can understand why, because like I said earlier, that right. The Doctor and Seven basically became the stars of the show after season three. But I'm so glad they gave it to the Doctor and not Neelix.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, the actors have. Play 7 and 9 and the Doctor are so charismatic, and they're so just, you know, I mean, obviously, Picardo, like I said, he just carries this whole episode. I mean, it's so, he's so strong through it. And we see that again and again, but this is a great episode where you get to see his acting chops, and he can go from fierce captain to timid captain. He can obviously sing the opera and all that other stuff. So
he's got a great voice.
So, It's just a really cool episode. It's so much fun, so much silliness as well. But it's, I mean, you get beyond the silliness and all the goofiness. I think there are some really serious questions to consider, and I don't often get that from Voyager. There's a lot of Voyager I kind of walk away with it, like, well, that was just a kind of like a romp through adventured land, but not a real like heavy question. Yeah,
Voyager was set up to be more action-y Star Trek like. Like, pull out the big, giant phaser rifles and shoot things.
The show version of the J.J. Abrams movies.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but the cool thing is, too, is that from that is we get...
way smaller budget.
No, but, I mean, like, we talked about, like, the last episode, we talked about the... Everyone Does the Dinosaur, where we talked about the idea of, like, you know, Dogma versus...
Yeah, and that was a really, really well-done episode.
Like, yeah,
that blew me away.
I mean, there are some really strong messages that are, like, underneath the surface, which is great. And I think this one does, too. But this one is just so silly and fun to watch. I think it kind of gets lost on you.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, but I think this brings up all the questions that maybe we all should think about. Because, let's face it, we are at the cusp of, right now...
This digital revolution.
Everything,
where we're sharing everything. So, I mean, it's like, it's not even that people are spying on us necessarily. It's that we're freely giving this information that we've never given
we're
before.
We're opening the window and putting a neon sign out saying, come right in.
Right.
Look here.
And I admit that I'm somewhat guilty of that. But also, we are at the cusp of also, as people say, possibly reaching AI. So, I mean, like, those are things as well that we have to start thinking about. I mean...
The digital singularity, where artificial intelligence will, like, you know, outpace man.
Yeah,
I mean, exactly. It's, you know, I know Stephen Hawking and other scientists are, you know, dead scared of, you know, actual AI. You know, what it can do to us.
Rightfully so. I mean, there's some scary prospects in there. You know, but that all being said, you know, that's probably an episode. It's another episode discussion. But we definitely have, like, a lot of things to think about when it comes to it. And this is kind of, like, scratches at the surface of all those things. And if you really think about it, there are a lot of questions that this episode is kind of, like, leaves hanging in the air that don't really get answered, but makes you think a little bit about it, you know, if you just walk away from it. Picardo's portrayal of the Doctor and how he does it is so good, you kind of forget about the questions. Maybe that's a little bit of a detractor, But I mean, it's still so good.
I mean, like, I mean, part of the reason why we do the show is so we can have these discussions and dig deep into the episodes and, you know, think about what, you know, what they do. And, you know, until you started bringing this stuff up, I thought this was going to be a little bit lighter on that. But
I just had to bring it down, man.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with it. This is great. I love her conversations. And like one of our people wrote us in, they loved our discussion on how languages work. So now we're talking about how privacy works.
Privacy and intelligent artificial intelligence.
I.e. privacy doesn't really exist, pretty much.
It doesn't really, unless you're going to live up in the mountains somewhere and not really.
Like Faith.
Hey, I live up in the mountains, and privacy means fucking all.
Well,
I will tell you that right now, because my neighbor knows more about everything that's going on here, and he talks, because everybody here goes to church. And when you go to church, well, you gotta talk and be social. And at that point, everybody knows everybody's business. So, oh my God, you want to talk about the first social network?
Gotta drink that.
Got nothing on this.
It's gotta drink that lemonade, right?
Man, I'm not drinking that Kool-Aid for nothing.
Lemonade.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mixed with pee.
She wants a baked potato.
Because it's yellow.
She wants a baked potato.
I need the bacon.
The bacon, bacon on the potato.
I need the bacon.
I want a baconator on my potato. A
baconator on my potato.
Wendy's, I get a baconator on my potato?
You just drop a between two baked potatoes, a baconator.
Yeah. Don't give me buns.
I want two loaded baked potatoes and a baconator. And in between. I'm going to use the baked potatoes
as the buns.
As the buns.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Don't do this. Please do not do this.
Your body will go like, no, why are you doing this to me?
You will end up in the hospital and I will feel guilty and I will have to come visit you.
But it'll be like,
and then children will start.
But you know, yeah, but your body, but your mouth will be like, this is so good.
This is amazing. The potatoes soak up the grease so well. Like it doesn't escape. It doesn't drip down. It's part of the potato.
The brain
absorbs it.
The brain wants things that the body doesn't really want. That's the truth of the matter.
Your mouth wants things that your colon does not really want.
That's true.
There is no part of you that wants to do that.
I've had plenty of experience with hot sauce that will tell you yes, that is true.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
talk about an afterburner.
That's an afterburn.
It's not aftershave. It's afterburn.
And on that note,
what? There's a note? Oh.
Oh, please don't. Don't be musical.
Don't be musical.
No, there's some moments you shouldn't.
You are the most beautiful woman in the galaxy. You don't know how long I've wanted to tell you that.
But you're afraid.
Yes.
Of me.
Of us. Of what we might become. And you're inviting me in.
I'm not sending you away.
That's more than I expected.
Is it as much as you hoped?
To hope is to recognize the possibility. I had only dreams.
Dreams can be dangerous.
Not these dreams. I dream of a galaxy where your eyes are the stars and the universe worships the night.
Careful. Putting me on a pedestal so high you may not be able to reach me.
Then I'll learn how to fly. You are the heart in my day and the soul in my night.
We lost two more relays. I can't!
Shut up, kid.
So just in case we didn't mention it earlier, the doctor drew Seven naked.
We don't know really what else happened, but
at least six times.
I have no idea what happened after that moment. I was just staring at her back.
It was a nice back.
It was a nice back.
But beyond that, in his fantasies, I know this is a PG TV show, but I mean, like, he probably had, like, an orgy with all of them at the same time.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say the doctor scored lots of times in his imagination. And because he's a hologram, that's just as good as real life.
It still counts.
That's just as good as real life. I mean, for us, that's not the same because our imagination is just in our heads. But since he's a computer program,
that's just as good. I count it the same.
You count the same?
Yeah, but he can make his like a touchable reality.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just as tangible to him because he is a program.
He can interact with it.
It could be more tangible.
So, I don't know. I'm just thinking about what the dynamics there are. And like, so it's not a mauvais entente. It's, what's a foursome? I don't know the French word for that.
I don't know the French word for that either. But I mean, it could have been more than maybe you only saw the three women.
I was going to say more than four because I mean, honestly,
I'm sure all the women on the ship. Maybe Mrs. Wildman.
Oh.
Maybe she had a thing for him too. Maybe she just wasn't in the episode. I mean, you know, could have been any of the all the women on the ship.
You're just having a lot of fun with this now.
No, I mean, there's
so many places you can go. You can go. The thing of it is, she just didn't have all that time.
I mean, you know, maybe he got with Chakotay too. Maybe he got in on it. So I mean, because Chakotay was giving him the lovey eyes at the. In the song in the intro.
That's right.
He is a doctor. It's considered clinical evaluation.
Maybe he was having sex with the
old prostate exam. You know?
Well, I was thinking of the Phlox, for the potato man. Maybe he was having potato sex.
That explains their deep connection.
That's right.
I mean, there was an intimate bond there.
There was. He was like, rip my uniform open of tinfoil.
Take me.
Just love my bacon.
Toss my potato salad.
Eat my sour cream.
Ugh, all over your face.
I'm getting sour cream everywhere. I'm sorry. I'm so excited.
Here in a towel.
But, you know, this is definitely a score for the doctor. I don't know. I mean, like having every single woman on the ship fawn over you and Chakotay.
It doesn't even matter if he never got laid one single damn time. Seven kissed him on the cheek at the end. Right.
And earlier she was almost she was licking his ear. I mean, like.
No, I'm talking about like the for real.
Yeah, the for real kiss.
He ended up getting probably the furthest.
Yeah. And, you know, he got to feel up Captain's butt.
No, that's a point loss.
Yeah.
That's his point loss? Okay.
That is a 10-point loss.
That's a 10-point loss.
That is not taking one for the team.
So how many points is it getting the kiss by seven?
About 50.
Okay, so he's about 40. That's not bad.
He's
fallen. Like, seriously.
He's ahead, but...
I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
I'm so definitely. Happy for him.
It's definitely... he's definitely had a good time, and you can't really...
A fistful of Janeway.
Fistful of Janeway.
Oh, all the note.
Well, you know, they had the
I'd
episode...
I'd rather think about B'Elanna's feet. Oh, God, this out of my head.
And the good thing about the Seven of Nine, she's more than a handful.
Yes,
she is. She is. Thank you for that change of thought.
Well, anyway,
you're welcome. Anything I can do to make your mindscapes more pleasant, Faith.
We've all gone into our own fantasy. So that being said, we thank you for listening to this episode.
Please still love us.
Don't judge us.
Don't judge us. We might be a little bit drunk tonight, but it's all good because we're this is Synthaholics, and this is what we're here for.
We get drunk and we talk about episodes.
Talk about Star Trek. This is like we're living the dream.
You're doing exactly what you wish you could do and not be ashamed.
That's right.
But just so you know, all our music is brought to you by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com and at Warp 11 on Twitter. You can find us at Synthaholics.com. You can email us at Synthaholics@yahoo.com. You can find us on Twitter at SynthaholicDuo. You can find me on Twitter at David_J_Duncan.
You can find me, Aaron O'Brien, at Blackbird2004.
You can find me at Faith Hertzberg on Twitter.
And don't forget to write us at Synthaholics@yahoo.com. We want to read your letters.
We want to read them and answer them on the air.
We want to hear your intimate thoughts like the doctor.
And Aaron wants to know how you like your baked potato.
I do want to know how you like your baked potato. Write in. Let us know how you like our baked potato.
And we'll read it on the air. And if you also, when you write us, let us know if you can say your name. That way we can just say it. And that way I don't have to send you an email asking.
And
give us a call sign.
Yeah, calls.
Woo! Just so you know, if you don't like Patreon, we do have now a donation button set up on our website, so you can just donate to us directly.
Press the button.
Yeah.
Press the shiny red button.
We also set up ads on our website, so we hope you don't mind, but we're just trying to keep everything going. We want to keep this podcast on the air, so hopefully these things will help us.
And
help listen to us.
And please go on to iTunes and rate and view us. If you can give us many stars, it would be very welcome. We also read any reviews. If it's if you've left us some comments on iTunes, we'd love to read that online.
This also helps us show up on the list so more people can find us. So this is extremely important. So please, please do this for us.
And if you have a friend, a family member, a baked potato that's languishing inside your cabinet that you have not brought out in a long time. Bring out that baked potato. Tell them about Synthaholics. Tell them about the fun time you just had.
Listen to it with them.
Yes.
Wear a white shirt and a black tie and ride a bicycle around, knock on doors.
That's right. With your baked potato. And tell them that you've brought them to the church of chives and bacon. And you're willing to take in the potato savor into your heart.
And these are subsidiary of Synthaholics.
Yes.
So thank you so much for listening to this episode of Synthaholics. Live long and prosper, guys.
Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink and we'll cry till we laugh. And we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
And they will never listen again.
And they run away screaming. We loved you when you were here.
It's one of those days, just one.
No, it's
to
more
dream
like
of
the day.
Huh?
You should play Wrecking Ball at the end of that.
I should. I'm going to go pee. I'll be back.
You're going to pee like a wrecking ball.
Oh, I'm going to go pee like a wrecking ball.
Gonna pee till the end of time. Too. Recording, and this is gold. Why am I not recording?
I don't know.
I walked out with these this bag of balls, two balls, and I was holding them down below, and I was like, oh, like my balls? And I was like, man, I wish Faith was here. She'd get a kick out of this.
Oh, no, you sent me a picture of it.
Oh, right.
And by the way, I choked on my chocolate milk, so the sinus clearing. That was fucking fantastic.
Nice.
Oh, I'll have to do another one where I'm actually holding the some balls in front of me. I don't know.
You don't need to choose between the red or the blue pill.
You can take both at the same time.
Can I do both?
Can I do both?
Orpheus, can I do both?